Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Bill Bean story. A life filled with drugs, addiction, poor choices, and lack of direction. This is where Bill Bean came from. Through his childhood, Bill experienced dark forces that took over his family. Abuse, violence, and emotional trauma were the norms through most of his formative years. Why was it that dark energy and negative forces would take over family members? What did they want, and who were they going after? In today's episode of The Grave Talks, Bill reveals to us the mysterious questions surrounding the setting of his childhood home and what his house may have been built on or around. Could something as simple as location be the reason for oppressive spirits to lash out at his family? And how did Bill turn his trauma into a positive force as a way to help others in his adult years? Today, we hear the harrowing story of Bill Bean.
My life was so bad for so long, for so many years, Tony. It's miraculous, and it's just unfathomable. You know, when I step outside of myself and look at it, it's almost like it happened to somebody else. That's how far removed from all that I am. But that said, you know, I grew up in a very, very harsh environment, to say the least, and my family was destroyed by demonic forces, and I was nearly destroyed as well. And these events, I've written four books. I'm working on the fifth book now, and in the first book, which is called Dark Force, I talk about these events that took place in 1970 in a house located in Glenburnie, Maryland, in a community called Herondale. And this house just had hellish things taking place, but it really wasn't until I finished writing the book that I found out additional information that it just wasn't entities that were, you know, part of the house in the area. Someone in my family many, many, many years ago, decades ago, had actually conjured up these demonic forces. I was not aware of. A family member told me this. And so I truly believe that by those demons being conjured up in that way, they certainly came in on and around the family. I feel that we were led to that house where evil was already present and manifest in the home and in the area as well. And that's why it was so severe for my family and I. We were caught in that, in the middle of that perfect storm. And it greatly contributed to the destruction of my family. Neither of my parents lived to see the age of 50, and many other family members died mysteriously and tragically as well. And I very easily could have been, one of those casualties, but God had a plan for my life. And I feel, you know, in retrospect, looking back on this, that I could not be where I'm at right now had I not been there. So I feel that God had a plan for me before I even came into this world, and I think that the devil was certainly trying to stop that. So,
what were some of the things that were going on in the house that you began to attribute, or your family began to attribute, to being more than just hardship, more than just, you know, things in life that happen that are negative? What was kind of the tipping point there? What were some of those things that led up to, and what was that tipping point?
Well, the house was located at the bottom of a downhill cul-de-sac, and it had a very large and deep ravine behind it that stretched for a couple of miles. And there is it was rumored that there's a spot down in there, and I'll tell you, it was a very eerie place, to say the least. one particular spot in the area in that ravine was rumored to be an Indian burial ground, and I could certainly believe that. And then if you go a little further down in the ravine, it would curve past a creek, Marley Creek, and down to a place called the Wishing Rock. And this is a gigantic boulder-like structure that's located in the middle of the woods, and it just seemed to be placed there. And a friend of mine, John D. Romine, is a retired police officer. He was a police officer in the area during the 70s. And he had written a book talking about bizarre events that had taken place in his career, during his career as a police officer. And my house and the area were one of those things, one of the things that he had investigated and written about. But anyway, this Wishing Rock structure was another. And according to his research, the Native American tribes apparently used to gather and worship and have treaties and things of that nature at this Wishing Rock structure, saying that it had these supernatural powers. And if there's anything to this at all, Tony, perhaps that was a gateway or a vortex or something for these entities to come through. And I had also found out after the A Haunting series featured my story, and then I'd written the book Dark Force, I'd found out that many other people in the area were also experiencing paranormal, supernatural, demonic problems in their homes as well. And I have been back as a deliverance minister, spiritual warrior, several times now on behalf of some of those people. But, you know, the house, let's get back to the house. The house from the beginning was semi-dilapidated. It had a very ominous look and feel about it. I was 4 years old when we moved there. My sister was 13. My brother was one. I just had this horrible feeling from the first time that I saw it. My sister was standing beside me. She said she felt the same way. And it was just a feeling of dread. It was awful. And my dad, William Bean Sr., was a master carpenter. He saw this as a restoration project, which he did quite a bit of work to it in restoring it. My mother, Patricia Bean, was a homemaker, and she was the first to have an experience in the house. It was shortly after we moved in. Now, let me give you a layout of the house before I go any further. You would walk in through the front door, and it was very, very dark in the house because the paneling, it was like a dark brown, almost black in color. So it was always very dark in the house and had a very heavy feel and vibe. And, you know, I've come to learn through experience and now experience as a exorcist deliverance minister that when a demonic presence is there, when we can literally feel that because it's an atmospheric change. The air gets heavy. Sometimes a person's ears will ring. It's like pressure. There are many indicators. And then the smells, you know, the smells of sulfur or rotting flesh or even a feces smell or something like that. I mean, these are all indicators that, you know, there is a demon present. And so just walking in and feeling that vibe from the very beginning, it was just another, I guess, confirmation of how I was feeling and my sister as well. I don't know how my parents were feeling about it. They didn't show that. But you would walk in into the living room and you would make a right down a long hallway, which had a hard tile floor. And oftentimes I can recall laying in bed. My brother and I shared the first room on the right. My parents' room was the second room on the right. My sister's room was across the hallway, the last room on the left. Oftentimes, while laying in bed at night, I would hear footsteps coming down that hallway, and it sounded like, you know, boots or hard-soled shoes coming. It was a hard-tile floor, and it would reverberate off of that paneling, so it was pretty loud. And let me tell you, there were many, many sleepless nights throughout the years, and I can recall also having to pull the covers up over my head as a child because I was so frightened, you know. And then in knowing that a presence was there, every 5 or 10 seconds or whatever, the covers would come back out and then back up because I knew something was there. But my mom was the first to have an experience in the house. It took place when she was unpacking and organizing. My dad had taken us with him for the day to my grandparents, his parents' house, to allow my mother some time to unpack and organize and get things in order in the home. And it was during this that she felt a presence come into the room. She was in the living room. She felt the presence come into the room. She thought in her mind that it was my dad sneaking in to play a joke on her. And she spun around, fully anticipating on seeing him. And to her shock, nothing was there. So she was taken aback and startled and perplexed and all of these things, and just pretty much shaking her head, trying to understand, you know, what had just taken place. And not long after that, my sister's bedroom door slammed shut by itself. And that was enough to make her go out and wait outside until we returned. So that's where it started.
And up until this point, I want to ask the question of what was your family's attitudes towards just the general concept of ghosts or demons or anything of the sort, something supernatural, something paranormal? What were they thinking up until that? Did they believe in that, or what was the thought?
Well, my dad was a man's man. He was a very rugged individual and no nonsense. He had a good heart, very charismatic, and was blessed with every ingredient in life to be highly successful. His story in itself is very sad and tragic, but he did not want to talk about any of that kind of stuff. You didn't do that back in the, you know, decade of the 70s and before that. You just didn't do that. Now, my mother, she tried to downplay it. You know, my dad wouldn't talk about it. My mother tried to downplay it, saying we had a friendly ghost and things of that nature. But I found out that my mother had many paranormal supernatural experiences as a child in her childhood, her and her siblings as well. And they moved around quite a bit as a family. And at one point in her teen years, she actually lived in that very area. So she had pre-exposure to that area and was also, you know, for many, many years having those types of experiences. And so, but again, my dad wouldn't talk about it at all. My mother tried to downplay that, but it gradually escalated.
Yeah.
You know, more of these noises, and there were times that it got to the point to where my mother would make the beds in the morning and would go back and find them all torn apart. Water faucets in the bathroom and the kitchen would turn on with such force that the water would just spill out of the sinks and saturate the areas. Back then, we had you didn't have remote controls. You know, we had a console TV set with you'd have to press a button in and flip a heavy channel selector dial to turn the channel. And there were times that something would just turn that TV on and just effortlessly flip that dial. Again, the smells of feces or rotting flesh or sulfur would manifest out of nowhere. Voices and giggling and chanting and muttering, all these types of things. You name it, Tony, it was going on, but it was a gradual escalation. So it went from that point, you know, the first time with the experience that my mom had, as a pattern. And I feel that, certainly I know this now, that demonic forces grow stronger when people are in fear, because they feed off of the fear. So any type of fear and confusion, negative emotion that is generated by this, those forces become stronger and stronger, to the point to where they can become strong enough to where they will launch physical attacks. And that's what was happening.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com. Mm-hmm.